The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
That stunk again. 7-3. Ouch. Marlins have taken 4 out of 5 against the Brewers. You blink, and oh my goodness, the Marlins have won the season series. Here's what we're not going to do. I'm Dominic Catronio, by the way. Thanks for joining us here tonight. We're not going to lose our composure. We're not going to freak out. No, it's fine. Honestly, okay, look. Let's be real for a second. It's a slump. It's not pretty baseball. It's been for a few weeks now. It's not the end of the season. There's 2 months to correct it. There are roster moves to be made. And there's still 3 days until the trade deadline. This is not the playoffs do not start tomorrow. The guys that you have now are not going to be rolled into the most intense games. They're not chasing the Cardinals. They still have built goodwill. So it is frustrating. It is annoying, quite frankly, to play as poorly as they have all season against the Marlins. But I've seen folks, a couple of folks have tweeted this, a couple of folks have texted this. Like, what's the deal, right? You can't lose to the Marlins and the Nationals. Let's also put a little respect on the Nationals. They're better than you think. They're not a tanking team. The Nationals are a year away. The Nationals are getting closer. But you can't sit here at the same time complain. Like, this is baseball where you lose to bad teams all the time. It happens to every single team. But you can't also ignore the good wins they have, okay? They've won a series in Boston. They're in a playoff position. They've won a series in Baltimore. They're leading the best division in baseball, the Orioles are. They've won a series against the Mariners. They're hanging on to a playoff position right now in the American League. They've handled their division for the most part. They have a winning record against everybody in their division against Pittsburgh, except for Pittsburgh, which they are 5-5 against Pittsburgh. It's a balance. You're going to win games maybe you're not supposed to win. You're going to lose games you're not supposed to lose. But the Brewers are in a true rut, slump, whatever you want to call it right now. And I think for me, it could be pitching, it could be relievers, but for me, the number one thing that I always come back to, it's the offense. The offense is completely different than what we've seen month over month to what we saw earlier in the year. And quite frankly, the Brewers, I mean, yes, Christian Yelich is injured right now, but the personnel isn't that overly different, okay? In April and March, first month of the year, .258 batting average, .418 slugging in the coldest months of the year. It's pretty impressive. May, they kept the good times rolling. They improved their batting average by 2 points. They improved their slugging by a few points as well. So you're like, all right, that's pretty fun. June, the slugging took a nosedive down to .352. It's climbed back up to near .400 here in July, but in doing so, they have sacrificed the batting average. That's just team basic rate stats, and there are other ways that we can analyze this team, but I've talked about it for a couple of weeks now. Bryce Turang slowing down at the top of the order really hurts, and the fact that it coincides with Yelly going on the injured list means you don't know who your easy replacement is at the top of the order to be your new leadoff hitter if you want to take Bryce out of the leadoff spot. Is it Jackson Churio again? Right now he's dealing with an ear infection, so he might not be even in there tomorrow. It would have probably been Christian Yelich in a leadoff spot if you wanted to slide Turang. But then it comes down to, okay, well, who's going to bat third without Christian Yelich? Today it was Sal Frelick. And I think, with all due respect to Sal, Sal is not a three-hitter. He's just not. That's not his job on this team. That's not what he was drafted to be. That's not what his profile plays to be. When he's above the five spot in the order, five or above in the order, that's not where he's successful, but the Brewers have to, they're keeping the righty-lefty splits, you know, not stacking lefties and creating a window for an opposing reliever to come in. Or, you know, it's like, okay, well, don't put Sal Frelick there without Christian Yelich. Put Rhys Hoskins in there, and Rhys went yard today. That's great. He's starting to get warmer, which is so sorely needed for the Brewers right now. Willy Adames has had a solid month. Churio's had a solid month, and Rhys is getting warmer, but aside from those guys, the offense hasn't been doing much. And we're going to talk about the bullpen and the starters in a little bit. And I think overall that's a big part of this season too. But in this current slump here in July, it's the offense for me. even against the Twins, in those two wins, it was a late arriving offense, right? They scored 8 runs in both of those games, right? Well, 7 of them came late in the game on the previous Saturday in Minnesota, open up the second half, winning those two games, right? They had 12-inning game, chaos scenario, and five-run inning in extras. Then the second game, which they won 8-7 and held on with bare knuckles down the stretch, of those 8 runs, once again, 4 of them were scored after the 6th inning. They've been a late-arriving team. And then the starters fall behind the 8-ball. Then the starters aren't pitching with the lead. And then they're not able to go long and that sort of thing. It's all connected. But like I said at the top, we're not gonna freak out. It is July 27th. The Brewers are still going to be in first place when you wake up tomorrow, regardless of what happens in St. Louis or Pittsburgh. But let's make something clear as well. If you thought this was going to be a cakewalk all the way to September, no, that's not how this works. This is the slump. The opponents have made the adjustment to your team. Now it's your turn to make the adjustment to that adjustment. Right, Bryce Terang at the top of the order early in the year, that was a great adjustment, slapping balls the other way, hitting the ball with authority. He's not getting the ball in the air anymore. Joey Ortiz, he's suddenly getting pitched inside because he's a guy that likes to let the ball travel and hit it the other way and draw his walk. So he's having a bit of a struggle right now. William Contreras is playing through an injured glove hand finger, which is also the bottom hand of his bat. You know, the top hand can generate bat speed, but the left hand can help keep your hands fast. He's not feeling great. He's playing a ton of ball right now. Furthermore, you're relying on Rhys Hoskins trying to get going again, but he was all the way down to the 7th spot in the order yesterday. He hasn't been himself this season. And then all of a sudden you look, and Willy Adames is pretty exposed in the middle of this order, and he can't carry the offense all on his own. But again, it's July 27th. Mind you, last year, the Brewers entered August not even in first place. They were a half game out, and they were in a back-and-forth fight for most of the month. They were only up a couple of games. Remember when they got swept by the Dodgers last year in L.A. after the trade deadline? And then you had the tough travel day out to Texas. Texas was playing well at the time. Then they swept the Rangers and got hot from there. And the rest is history. We talk about the 2018 season all the time. Game 163 and how they showed up in September and how great it was. They weren't in first place at all, really, for the most part of that season. 2019, they were back and forth. They rallied to make it into the postseason. I know they didn't get out of the wild card round, but it's still a lot of baseball. 58 games is still a lot of baseball. And to give you the scoreboard update here before we take our first break, the Diamondbacks are beating up on the Pirates right now, 9-5 in the top of the 7th, and the Nats are still leading the Cardinals 2-0 in the top of the 5th inning. That game had a rain delay at the start of it, so that's why it was such a late start there in St. Louis. I'm not going to freak out, but let's also look in the mirror and say, okay, figure out how to fix it, make the adjustment. To me, it's the offense, only scoring 3 runs tonight, not going to get it done almost ever. And the offense is losing a little bit of his mojo. We're going to talk about it with Craig Kishon coming up in a moment. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. It's the text line. I've got a lot rolling in here. We'll get to those in the next segment. But first, I want to remind you, Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you all season long by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Craig Kishon will join us in just a moment. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers fall 7-3 to the Marlins. They've dropped the season series overall to the Marlins. They've lost 4 out of 5 to them. They're in an extended cold stretch right now, and the crew is trying to figure out what it will take to get back on track. Today's game, Savali gave up the 2 runs early, and I saw a lot of folks really freaking out in the moment, but Savali getting into the 6th inning was good. Not great. It was good. The 2 things that I saw as massive improvements for Savali today, a 0 in the walk column and a 0 in the homer column. That's one of the things that has held him back all season long. Pitching into the six was good. 87 pitches, 60 strikes, a lot of strikes, filling it up. And I understood why Pat Murphy, with a 3-2 lead in the sixth inning, and then lefty-righty-lefty-do in the sixth inning, was going to Jared Koenig. Totally understood it. Koenig got Sanchez to ground out for the second out of the inning and got Jonah Bride to strike out. So he was due to face another lefty in the seventh. And I imagine he wasn't going to go very long. I imagine he probably would have gone to the bottom of the order, maybe even just Vidal Brujan. But nonetheless, the big play to lead off that inning with Blake Perkins crashing into the wall. The ball was in his palm. It was out. Someone tweeted me and said that should have been an error on Perkins. It was not. That was not a lot of center fielders even have a play on that ball. He got there quicker than he thought he would need to, and he caught it in the palm, and he crashed into the wall, and the triple. And then in the span of five pitches, Craig Kishon joining us now, in the span of five pitches, this escalated quickly in the words of Ron Burgundy. And all of a sudden, the cracks in the bullpen and the use, and it just feels like in that moment, you're like, okay, well, if Koenig couldn't get it done, and then Peguero, who had been better as of late, he couldn't get it done. The Brewers have been on shaky ground with Yoel Piams trying to get him back on track. Without Devin Williams and without now Brian Hudson on the injured list, that was the news earlier today, you suddenly find yourself saying, oh boy, thank goodness they made that trade for Nick Mears earlier today. What did you make of the seventh inning and the bullpen struggling today?
Well, I'll start from the beginning of that inning. I was a little surprised that Koenig came back out for the seventh inning, to be honest with you.
Me too.
I think they would have been probably better off and be satisfied with how he finished up the six, because that was a huge situation there. You got a 3-2 game. You just got the lead. Savali is, he's a little fragile at times, and that's not a negative. It's just, for him, it was big to get through that fifth inning after he got the lead. And then, you open up the six, and all of a sudden you got traffic on the base. You got the tying run on. Go ahead, run at the plate. And this franchise has always had themselves set up to have good enough relief pitching that you can almost bring in a closer type in the middle of the game, sixth and seventh inning. We've seen that a lot, and that's what Koenig did. I wanted his job to be done and then start the inning fresh. If you were, thinking that you were going to go to another pitcher anyway, I just prefer to start those innings fresh and make it be his, it's more pressure for Peguero to come in with runners on now, and then you're going to face a hot hitter and Bell to top it off. So that's my take on that seventh inning.
It went bunt single by Fortes, and yes, Koenig almost made that play, but he didn't. But you're not expecting a bunt to be popped up, and then you're a lefty, and you're falling, and then, okay, it's over. Oh, I can't make the play. And it's like, I can't expect him to make that play, but I would hope to at least get an out. A little bit of luck there for Fortes, and then he had the sack bunt that was changed on review. Then the single up the middle by Brian De La Cruz, who's the best hitter on the Marlins now that Chisholm's gone, and then Bell in a three-run homer, and you blink, and boom, the game reached its final score. You're right. I agree with you there. I would have said, all right, Koenig, thank you for doing your job. You're done. Got your two guys out. Save him to be available for tomorrow. And then Peguero would have the seventh. But then you kind of kick the can down the road, though, right, Craig? Where then you sit in this scenario in the eighth inning. It's like, well, I don't have Brian Hudson. McGill's not going to go multiple innings. Who do I throw in the eighth inning? Am I ready to trust 100% in a one-run game, Yoel Piams? And that's where I tweeted this earlier. It feels like the Brewers' bullpen has been a credit card. Really useful to have. Everybody needs to have a credit card. But they've been, paying the minimum all year long. Just pay the minimum this month. Pay the minimum this month. But the interest keeps growing. And they're starting to do something about it. Devin Williams is coming back. You're going to have this trade with Nick Mears. DL Hall will return. That will all help. But in the meantime, this month, they're checking and they're adding things up. Like, oh boy, I'm a little short this month, and that's what we're seeing here in July.
Yeah, and I think, to be honest with you, sometimes you just take it for granted sometimes that they are good enough to do this. But, when Koenig went down, the first time a few weeks ago, I think the team was able to kind of weather the storm there because they were scoring runs. And when you're not scoring runs in these games, become so fragile. I'll use that word again, because the lead is either one or you're down one, whatever the case may be. You can't afford to give up runs. I think that's the bottom line here right now. And you just, it just goes to prove where this relief corps is here right now. These are the toughest times of the season, when things are going really, really well. And then just gradually things don't fall your way. I mean, tonight in that seventh inning, the way things just didn't work out for this team, Dom, reminded me of Tobias Meyer's start against Chicago earlier this week, when, you know, he had the balk falling down, couldn't make a play at the plate, and the wild pitch, couldn't make the throw, you know, out at second. Just little things like that. It's like, you know, all of a sudden they pop up and you're going to lose these games here. This is kind of what this week has felt like. But, you know, the bottom line is, hopefully here they're going to weather this storm and get a win tomorrow and get this bullpen back to strong, because, you know, help is on the way. We all understand that. But please get here now. That's all I ask for.
Yeah, pretty much. And this all comes into a kind of a bigger yin and yang conversation, where it's like, yes, good, Savali got into the six, but the Brewers need guys to complete six innings right now, because, well, the reason why the bullpen is a little bit gassed and struggling is because they've been throwing so much, and, well, they're throwing so much because the starters aren't throwing long. The Brewers still have the most innings from their relievers in baseball to this point in the season. They have the third fewest starts of a pitcher of at least six innings. They have the third fewest starts of at least six innings, which obviously that goes hand in hand with having the most bullpen innings and having the fewest six or more inning starts. Tomorrow is one of those guys that's been delivering for the Brewers and Tobias Meyer, but you suddenly sit here and think, like, oh man, like, where are the innings coming from? Because Joe Ross is going to get a start against the Braves. They need him to be lengthy. They need Tobias to continue to have length. They need Freddie to get length. And then they need Colin Ray to continue to get length. And he gets the ball on Monday against the Braves. And it's one with the other. You know, you have a yin and yang of the pitching, of the starters and the relievers and their bullpen distribution. And yet all of this in this giant circle inside of that yin yang is like, hey, stop playing one-run games and asking the bullpen to move mountains and score some more runs.
Right, right. Exactly. And look, you can't – the bullpen is ever-changing. That's just how baseball is. That's how this team has run it. But I don't know if you can expect to run as many relievers as you have been running, especially multiple innings. Because now if you can't use Milner because he pitched a span of two innings yesterday – and you throw Koenig back out there for that second inning today, you're not going to throw Bryce Wilson. Yes, Junis to go multiple innings 2 days in a row, which is a little unheard of. And maybe right now they're not high on Piamps, like you're saying. Like, when do you use him to regain his confidence? You know, I think we're at a point here right now that if you don't have it, then you don't have it. Now, who's going to be here and who's not going to be here? So I think the bottom line is there's still some adjustments to who's going to be here and how they're going to use them the rest of the way. And I'm not certain at all we're going to see what we've seen the first 4 months of the baseball season from the bullpen down the stretch. And I mean that not in a negative way. I mean that they're likely to be used differently now, especially with Devin Williams coming back.
And let's just imagine for a moment here, then I'll get to a few of these texts before we go to break. Let's just imagine for a moment here, everything gets healthy. Brian Hudson returns in September. Devin, everything looks fine for him. So, I mean, you can sit here and imagine come mid-September when the Brewers are in the race and trying to make sure they can get themselves into the postseason. You can imagine a leverage bullpen that features Devin Williams in the ninth, Trevor McGill in the eighth, a healthy, hopefully, Brian Hudson in the seventh, or maybe Jared Koenig, or maybe Nick Mears. That's five names right there that you're like, yeah, they should be able to handle leverage situations. Piguero has options. Piamps does not. Milner does not. But then you've got to decide, okay, how much of this bulk guy thing do I want to keep? I mean, you're going to have Junis in there. Then you have to make the decision about Bryce Wilson and DL Hall. I mean, they have reinforcements on the way. The storm has arrived. They're trying to weather the storm and make it out the other side. and see what they can get, because you can see the vision coming. And I reminded folks in the first segment, Craig, look at the calendar. It's July 27th. There's still time for the trade deadline, and there's still time to get guys back on track in August into September, and then hopefully you're playing in October.
Right. But you know what? I think out of everything that you just said right there, there's a question. And the question is, do they need a true addition to that starting rotation to eliminate some of the things that we have seen this week? Because again, that I don't see this continuing the way it's been. I've never seen it for a full season. I think right now they clearly have an open spot in that rotation. We all understand it. Can that person be found if it's through the trade by Tuesday, or is it going to be somebody internally? I'm not 100% sure that's going to be the case, but to me, that is the big mystery question out of all the scenarios that we're talking about here right now, and how much that would potentially solidify what we're seeing in the bullpen and help them and make them stronger by doing a little bit less.
Yeah, I agree. Text here from Brian and Tosa. I know you're kind of a glass half full guy, but let's play devil's advocate. Great start to the second half. Feels like a distant memory. Same issues we've discussed during the year happening again. Offense without Yelich is struggling. The starting pitching barely getting through five. The bullpen struggling because of the number of innings. The Marlins are in full sell mode. Our question is, why didn't the Brewers pursue James Paxton? A source did tell me they did pursue him. Just the Red Sox beat them to the trade wire. That simple. They did try to pursue him, but the Red Sox got him. I mean, there are other teams that are looking for pitching help, too. Sometimes you lose, and that happens. It's not snap your fingers and this pitcher is mine. So they did try, but sometimes it doesn't work out. And I know they are still trying on other pitchers as well. Tomorrow's a huge game. Can't salvage one game. With the Braves coming to town, might be a long August. Same thing with Doug here. This Miami team is better than 40 wins, so this is no surprise to me, but they certainly need to salvage a game tomorrow. That one from Doug. Text here from the 414. Are the Brewers in the upper percentile of ground balls, outs, or otherwise? On that note, the Brewers actually, if I'm not mistaken, they have the most or the second most hits on ground balls. I'm double-checking their overall ground ball rate because I know it is very, very high compared to league average. The Brewers have the second highest ground ball rate in baseball, only behind these Marlins, actually, by 3 points. The Brewers at 46% for their ground ball rate, which is currently 3 points higher than league average. So a little bit of ground balls and a lot of youth is part of that as well. Let's talk a little bit more about the picture and the starters and trade deadline talk. Brewers fall 7-3 to the Marlins. It was not pretty. It was not fun. Reese hit a homer. That was cool. But the Brewers fall. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
The season is a marathon, not a sprint, ladies and gentlemen. It's a relay, and this leg of the relay, though, in the marathon, it's been a little of a struggle, but maybe somebody down the road, when you hand the baton off, they can take off for a week. Then the next person takes off for a week. Then so on and so forth. That's how the season works. And there's still 3 days to add to your relay team here for the next few days before the trade deadline. I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Kishon is with us as well. Brewers made a trade today before the 7-3 loss, and coincides as well with Brewers losing a ton of leverage innings out of Brian Hudson. He goes on the injured list due to a strained oblique. He's getting imaging done today. We'll probably know more tomorrow or Monday about Brian Hudson and getting those images read. So Nick Mears is acquired, and I kind of called my shot here, so I'll do a quick little victory lap on Brewers Weekly on Thursday, saying this would be a great guy to acquire. They go and acquire him. Thank you, Matt Arnold, for making me look smart. But Nick Mears has thrown in leverage. He throws hard, 96-97, with a hammer slider and a hammer curveball, and he gets out of altitude. He gets to pitch at sea level finally, and he's somebody that the Brewers, I know Brewers' bullpen acquisitions the last few years, Craig, have not really gone their way. Like, let's be honest, right? Like, the John Curtis move didn't work out. The Daniel Norris move didn't work out. Andrew Chafin, Taylor Rogers. You know, it's like, it's kind of the Arrested Development joke where it's like, did it work for all of them? No, but it might work for us. But I'm ready to put my wagon on Nick Mears and say, let's give it a shot. Why not?
Well, I think this guy, too, is, well, first of all, he's not a rental like a lot of those other names that you were talking about just were. And they were hoping for immediate, help. Now, they're going to want immediate help from Nick Mears as well, because this guy's a big league pitcher. He's pitching right now, and he is effective. And he's got – I mean, his storyline is very interesting for all the innings that he's pitched in Colorado. If I'm not mistaken, Don, he's only given up 2 home runs there this year, which is – that's yeah. I think it spans, what, 35, 40-plus innings of work. That says a lot right there for this guy's effectiveness, and he's a big thrower. So the Brewers have had their eye on him. You know, good call on your part, and they went out and got him. They obviously knew Brian Hudson was going down today, if not yesterday, and they went out and made sure that you know, they brought in Mears to pick up the slack here right away, and hopefully he'll be able to do that. Sounds like Monday he'll be here for the Braves series.
And I'll do you one better. He's only allowed 1 home run at home. You know, he's allowed 2 homers on the year, 1 at Coors. And another thing to note, I also want to pause, folks, on Nick Mears. And I know some folks are like, oh, he's got a 5.5 ERA. Why are you so excited about this guy? Like, he does walk, guys. He absolutely has a lot of walks. 21 walks in 45 innings. Not great, but he does have a ton of strikeouts. He's a savant darling, if you will. I love what Jeff Passan tweeted today, tweeting his Baseball Savant page like I did the other day, saying, it's a bloody page, meaning if you've been on Baseball Savant, all those sliders, if it's in like the 70th percentile or higher, gets darker and darker shade of red. So it's a lot of red, a lot of good numbers on the, you know, under the hood, if you will. It's like, he's maybe, if I can draw like a picture for you, Craig, it's like he's driving a regular old 2010 Honda Civic, but then he opened up the hood and it's like underneath you got like a Corvette engine in there. It's just like, wait a minute, this could work. Just get him out of the altitude.
Yeah, exactly. And for all of us, Dom, like myself, that was a great picture to draw so we can completely understand what you're talking about. but that's awesome. That's awesome. And you know, we know the Brewers go for a certain kind of talent, and yes, he does come, you know, with some years left before he hits arbitration or whatever controllable years. That's all great. I mean, if that can be worked out in a trade, that means that they want this guy here. And I know Matt Arnold said tonight about that trade that they're looking forward to having him on this roster for the next few years, which means they're going to count on this guy as soon as he gets here. And I know that they're going to work on, you know, eliminating all of the walks to some degree anyway, and make it minimal. That would be huge, because that's obviously becoming a little bit of an issue with the staff here right now. So I'm looking forward to seeing him come in here. One of my favorite things about this franchise over the years are some of the surprise trades they make, and you're going, wait, who? Wait, what? And you bring in this guy's a high quality person. He's got a great storyline to share about his struggles getting to the big leagues, even making it in baseball. He quit for a while. So it's another one of those stories, and it's worked out pretty well for him with the Rockies here this year. And now look where he lands. He's going to be on a first place team. So, you know, hopefully that fires him up too.
Yeah, he was a Pirate for a little while. Sacramento City College, another Sacramento guy, just like Rhys Hoskins and Jeff Levering. So looking forward to getting to know Nick Mears as he arrives. Real quick, as we start to shift off the trade deadline, but I want to kind of wrap the trade deadline topic with this. I'm going to put you on the spot here, so I apologize. If you can give me 2 names, and it could be a pitcher, it could be a hitter, it can be whatever. I want like a realistic name that the Brewers can get, and maybe like a stretch goal, a pipe dream. Like, you think like maybe they can pull off something crazy. I'm not saying like, I mean, sure, it can be as high as like a CC Sabathia type trade where they go and get Garrett Crochet or they go get Tarek Skubal. But like, I don't think those guys are going to be available. But I'll go first to give you some time. But like a name that you think is a realistic fit and really could happen, and a name that like, hey, you know what? Why not? See what could, if you want to get crazy. For me, the realistic name, I think Jack Flaherty would be a great fit on this club, coming from Detroit. He's a rental. He has relationships on this team. He eats innings. He has played in the playoffs. He has been on winning teams. He understands what it takes. And again, it's a rental. It's 10 or so starts. And he could be a guy that you lean to in a playoff series and have no hesitations about it. And then my stretch goal, I've said this name multiple times. For me, on the pitching side, it's Chris Bassitt. And there's some money involved there, too. And who knows if the Blue Jays are even going to move him. But I think Chris Bassitt with an extra year of control, and you're thinking, man, this could be really, really work out for the Brew Crew. Obviously, it would cost a pretty penny. But on the offensive side of things, I would love to have Brent Rooker here. I don't know where he's going to hit, but, man, I would love to have Brent Rooker. Do you have a couple of names that you think of?
Well, Flaherty was my realistic one, and I think that is realistic. I really do. I mean, he'd be a rental, right? I mean, he's done after this year as far as his contract, correct?
Yep, exactly. He's a rental.
So, I mean, then your price shouldn't be too high to get him, and should be worthwhile to bring him in for sure. And if you want to option B on why they would go after him as well, is because maybe they'd get him before the Cardinals could reacquire him too. So they're obviously still in the hunt. I'd throw Crochet's name out there. I know a lot of people are like, no way the Brewers would do that. But if you're talking about a CC Sabathia type, nobody saw that coming. And Doug Melvin was here today, the former GM. And that's just going to be the ticket to what Doug Melvin will always have on his Wikipedia or whatever. He pulled off the trade of the century, but he gave away a lot of really, really good talent, and not all that talent survived years down the road, and that's how it is, but it's hard to give it up. So those two come to mind. I wish, Dom, that I could tell you position wise who I'd like here. Because I think, you know, with the loss of Yelich and just not knowing 100% sure if he's going to be able to perform at the same level when he comes back, if he does come back, I just think they really could use a veteran guy who's very similar to that type of production, even if it's a rental. No matter where it could be, DH, outfield. I think we're asking a lot out of these young kids right now to carry it the rest of the way for the next 2 months. But anyway, that's where I'd go in those directions.
Yeah, the kids are going through it right now.
Yeah.
Now it's on the kids to learn, okay, the league has made the adjustment to me. I need to make the adjustment back to the league. Because I'm going to be brutally honest here for a second. Jackson Churio did it. So now it's your turn to do it. You know, I'm looking at Bryce. I'm looking at Joey. Sal's been hot, and Sal had a tough game tonight. But I'm like, look, the 20-year-old's doing it. Your turn to do it. And I know they can do it. And we saw Terang do it for 2 months, and we saw Ortiz do it for 2 months. And I know Ortiz dealing with the neck, and I know Terang's dealing with the struggle of having to play every day, and that's not easy to do. But all right, sooner as opposed to later would be nice, but get ready, because there's going to be a lot of meaningful baseball down the stretch.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know we've talked a lot about this bullpen and the decisions that were made, you know, throughout this game here tonight, but the offense has scored 10 runs over the last five games, folks. Yep. So, I mean, they need to shoulder their load, and they need to start bringing it as soon as tomorrow.
Yep. Amen to that. Craig Kishon joining us here on WTMJ. Appreciate the time as always, my friend, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
All right. Looking forward to it.
All right, Craig Kishon here on WTMJ. A couple of texts to answer to, trade deadline talk as well, and, you know, some serious analysis of what's going on with the Brewers offense up next here on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Dom Catronio here. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Tough one tonight, 7-3. Again, it's July 27th. They're in a rut. They're in a slump. There's no other way to call it. Sooner they hit themselves out of it, the sooner they will get back on track. But the good news is they've still got 3 days to figure out if they can find a fit to help this team. The other thing about this roster, and with D.L. Hall returning and Joe Ross returning, and I know the Brewers have said they want D.L. Hall in a hybrid role. You know, that'll be in a process of sort of deloading him. He'll start games, he'll relieve games, he'll pitch in leverage, he'll not pitch in leverage. He'll kind of be all over the place. He threw 4 innings last night, by the way. One of his better rehab outings he's had since he's been on the injured list. So that was encouraging to see from DL. But I see the Brewers vision, like using the Burns Woodruff role for him. I wonder if they just want to say, hey, man, you want to just throw leverage? You want to be a big league reliever? Because they need him right now, but then they would have to deload him and that sort of thing. Maybe that's something they feel is a last resort for DL Hall if things don't go well. But right now, it was big that Savali got into the six. Would like to see him complete six innings. If the Brewers had a bigger lead, they would have certainly supported. So you see how everything's connected, like I said in the first segment, where if you score more runs, you give the pitchers more leeway, and they can maybe complete six innings, and you don't have to use your leverage arms every single night. Everything's connected. Literally everything. The Brewers, though, they still have a few days, see what they can do, and then we'll reassess. Because, like I said earlier, the Brewers, they were in first place. Doesn't matter what happens in the other games. They're going to wake up tomorrow in first place. In fact, the Diamondbacks are two outs away from winning that game to keep the Pirates down. And the Nats have opened up a 6-0 lead now on the Cardinals. So that's good news there as well. And they still have control of their fate. They still have control of, look, they've still got six more games against the Cardinals. And they're already up 6-1 against the Cardinals, which means all they got to do is win one more game. Now, I hope they would win more than one more game. One more game. And they get the season series, which means the Cardinals would have to win outright in the division if they were to tie head-to-head. There's no more game 163s. I'll say it over and over until it's locked in. Meaning, let's say the Brewers win a series and lose a series. So they end up going 3-3 over these next two series against the Cardinals. Well, that means they have still won the season series. The Cardinals don't gain any ground, which means, let's say there's still going to be six games back here at the end of the night. The Cardinals would need to be seven games better than the Brewers with only 58 games to go. You see what we're saying? It's not impossible. I'm not saying they're not going to do it. They're still playing a lot better baseball since the Brewers have gone into this funk. But all the goodwill that you've built in April and May, you're using all of that credit and everything that you've earned right now. All of the time that you spent, like, okay, building, showing what you can do, and also proving you can do it. I don't have a doubt that Terang's going to turn it around and Ortiz can turn it around. And let's be honest, too. The elephant in the room is that the worry of Christian Yelich is back. How long is he going to be out? Is he going to be the same when he comes back? How long will it take for him to ramp back up? But in the words of Pat Murphy, worrying is a waste of time. These are things we don't know the answer to yet, and we won't know the answer to for maybe a couple of weeks. The Brewers' personnel offensively, unless something shocking happens at the trade deadline, is pretty much what they're going to be. Having Terang and Ortiz and Mitchell and Churio and Frelick, a majority young team, in addition to Contreras hitting a lot of ground balls and Adames being in a funk and Reese getting warm, Jake Bauer's had a couple of great ABs today, but they are going to lean on the kids. That's always been the plan. They need to lean on the kids. And the kids are going to learn to play better. And they'll be dynamic again. And if you'd, it's the golf analogy that I use all the time. They still got holes to play. You know, you can make a double bogey, but maybe there's a few birdie holes down the stretch here. I said, coming out of the break, that if the Brewers can find a way to be 10 and 7, over the next 17 games. 10 and 7 over the next 17 games coming out of the break. So, starting with the Twins. So, they started things off 4-1. Now they're 4-3. Can you get back on track tomorrow to be 5-3? You get the Braves, the Nats, and the Braves again. We'll keep an eye on that, and we'll check back in after that Braves series. And then they come home for the Reds, and they might be a different team by the time the Brewers see them. Then they get 4 with the Dodgers and 3 with the Guardians. And the Guardians are the American League version of the Brewers in more ways than one. Their starters have been struggling. They have a rookie manager. They have a lot of kids playing. They have a veteran in Jose Ramirez. The Brewers have a veteran and multiple veterans that are trying to carry the offense, but everyone's kind of slumping all at the same time. This is not a singular thing. A lot of teams go through this, specifically young teams, and Pat Murphy said as much in today's postgame show. In today's postgame media conference, and you'll hear from that in just a moment. Brewers fall today 7-3. I'm excited to see what Matt Arnold does to shake up this little funk. That text coming from the 510. Another text coming in here, so many excuses when Piguero comes in and gives it up. Happens quite often. Well, let's be honest, he has to keep getting thrown in there. The bullpen is trying to do a high wire act every single night. The sample size is larger than you'd hope it would be for a guy like Elvis. They're trying to find a way to get through this. And this one made me laugh from the 970 area code. My brother has been to a total of 5 Brewers games ever, and he just saw them lose for the 5th time tonight. He's going again tomorrow. Is he the problem, or is he just unlucky? Well, I'll tell you what. I think maybe you should take him to Pottawatomie first. Have him pick a number on the roulette table, and if, you know, or maybe pick evens or odds, and maybe do it 3 times in a row. And if you lose all 3, maybe it's him. It might be him. I'm just kidding. Yeah, have fun at the game. I hope you guys enjoy it here tomorrow. We'll hear from Pat Murphy coming up next. Brewers fall 7-3 to the Marlins. Not a fun couple of games, but there's a lot of baseball to go on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers fall 7-3. Oh, well. Another one tomorrow, baby. Get ready to go. 1 o'clock game tomorrow. Be with you on the air at noon here on WTMJ. Want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Right now, for a limited time, Sider's offering $10 off an AC tune-up or even $10 off an HVAC, plumbing, or electrical service call. At Sider, your at-home comfort is a top priority. Visit Sider.com today, Sider.com. How about the good news department? They're back. They're ringing the phone again. The Nationals are up 9-0 on the Cardinals. K-Bert Ruiz, 3-run shot now. And it is a final in Arizona. The Diamondbacks, they're white hot. They've won 10 of their last 13. They beat the Pirates 9-5. So once again, not only will the Brewers still wake up in first place tomorrow, they will still be at least 6 games up on both of the Pirates and the Cardinals. Or I should say the Cardinals are 6. They'll be 6 games up on the Cardinals, assuming that result holds, and they'll be 7 up on the Pirates. Here's the manager, Pat Murphy, after today's loss against the Marlins.
Look at the play on replay, how far he went. I thought it was a great effort. And the wall caused the ball to come out. But we've seen him make so many great plays that it surprises you. But at the same time, I think that would have been an incredible play. So I think, I didn't expect him to catch it, no.
From that point on, I think it was, walk, one single that drops in front of Jared.
Oh, he touched it. He could have caught that easily.
Yeah, so it was just kind of a little bit of bad luck, and then it just kind of degenerated from there. The home run, obviously, was a big blow.
There was a lot of ugliness there, but we felt like Jared was running out of gas a little bit, and he's been so good for us in multiple innings. And Piguero's been so good for us, you know what I mean? Piguero's got a little option there to, like, kind of pitch around De La Cruz or do whatever he wants. And Bell's good at hitting left-handed, right-handed, whatever. Traditionally, he's a better right-handed hitter.
Yeah.
Didn't work out.
What have you seen from Hoskins this month? So many hits for him going for extra bases, and especially with yelling out, how important is he to this lineup, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's been incredible in that he's produced big home run after big home run after big home run. I mean, I would say of his 16 homers, and has he got 16?
17
of his 17 homers, it feels like 10 of them or more were like at critical times. We didn't add on, you know, our offense is not clicking, our pitching staff, our bullpen's kind of beat up. I thought Savali did a really nice job to navigate, and we got to go through it, man. We got to go through it with our heads on it, you know what I mean, and not shy away from it. We got to go through it. This is an incredibly young ball club that has played their guts out. Things are swaying the wrong direction for them right now. We're playing a team that nobody expects much from. They've played great. They've played great defense. They've swung the bat. They're aggressive. They're free. They lost one of their top players, and they're still just, you know, Berger and Bell and De La Cruz, and those guys are swinging it. And the pitching staff, the way they've thrown the ball, I mean, they're playing with freedom, and they're, you know, you can say they got nothing to play for, but they're major league players. They're really, really good, and they played really good against us, and not playing good. We came off an emotional series. And concerned? Yeah, I'm concerned. But this is what young people go through. You're going to, you know, I heard some people booing Sal Frelick or Joey Ortiz during their strikeout there in the eighth. And I was like, are you kidding me? You know what I mean? Like, these kids have been battling their guts out, you know? And I have great respect for them and what they've done and where they're at. And, yeah, I'm sorry we're going through this, but these last 2 days we're going through it.
I love that last quote from Murph. Also, I did hear those boo birds. I hated them, too. Like, come on. Respectfully, you do not know ball if you're booing Sal Frelick and Joey Ortiz. And I get it. Like, this isn't Philly. This isn't New York. This isn't Boston. Don't boo your home team ever. I've never understood that. It's so tacky to me. I'm not going to tell you how to fan. If you want to boo, go boo. I don't care. You probably don't listen to my show anyway if you're a booer, because you don't like listening to a glass half full guy. But yeah, that was dumb. Don't come on. It's a bad couple of weeks. It's not the end of the world. We'll keep room on the bandwagon for you in September. It's okay. It's no big deal. Give us a ring when you're ready to come back. It's all good. Nothing highlights-wise, but we'll play the Reese homer and talk a little bit about Reese coming up next on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Meyer kicks the leg, the pitch. High fly ball, deep left field. Racing back is De La Cruz. Bye-bye baseball! Reese Hoskins, a three-run shot, and the Brewers on top, 3-2 in the fourth.
Lane Grindle's call of Reese tying Willy Adames for the team lead with 17 homers. The Brewers, I mean, that inning was two outs, nobody on after a double play from Frelick. Two outs, nobody on, and with two strikes, Adames beat out an infield hit. With two strikes, Bowers drew a walk, and then Reese, two pitches later, three-run homer at the time, give the Brewers the lead. Since Reese had that clutch grand slam in L.A. off Tyler Glasnow on July 5th, he's got 10 hits. Eight of them are for extra bases. And I talked to him a little bit today. He is hitting the ball a lot harder over this stretch. He is feeling better as far as seeing the ball well, striking it well, and making his swings count. But the irony is he's still not drawing walks over this stretch. And it's been kind of feast or famine, which is part of it. But at the same time, it's like, He's getting warmer. I'm not saying he's all the way back, but he's getting warmer. I imagine some hits and some doubles are on the horizon here for him as well. The walks are a big part of Reese Hoskins' game, and with Christian Yelich out of the order, they're going to lean on Yelly on Willie and on Reese in the middle of this order to get the job done. Now, it would be nice if the guys at the top third of the order can get on base for them, but those guys are a massive part of what the Brewers are going to be needing. One of the ways that we measure is called barrel rate and hard hit rate. Hard hit rate is anytime you hit the ball 95 miles an hour or above. He's got a 41% hard hit rate over these last 3.5 weeks, 2 weeks or so. His barrel rate's a little lower than what it has been for the season. The season barrel rate's really good at 12%. This rate right now is at 8%. So he's finding a way to make more quality contact, and next is to start lifting the ball again and driving the ball like we've seen the last two nights. Remember, Reese is a bona fide slugger. He's not here to hit for average. He's here to hit for slug. He's here to hit bombs. He's here to hit 25 or more homers, and hopefully he can go on a heck of a run and get to 30 by the end of the year and have like a Schwarber-type June in August, potentially. That could be really cool for Reese Hoskins. He's going to be a massive piece of the Brewers here moving forward, and I'm excited to see what the rest of August will entail for him, and maybe some lineup protection coming back when Yelly returns as well. Final segment coming up next. Preview the rest of the week and get you ready for our coverage here on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
I've got 50 seconds left. So tomorrow we are on the air at noon. Brewers warm-up on-deck show built by Menards will take over at 12:35. First pitch is at 1:10 here on WTMJ for the finale with the Fish. Then the Braves come to town Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Monday night, first pitch scheduled for 7:10. Brewers warm up with yours truly at 6:00. Then I'm with you after the game as well on Monday. Tuesday, I will not be with you. It'll be Greg Matzik, if I'm not mistaken, with Brewers warm up same time, 6:00. Brewers extra innings as well. And then Wednesday, no warm-up, no extra innings, given it is a day game at 1:10. Tomorrow, Tobias Myers takes a mound. Hope to hear from you then. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.